We thank you, Jesus, that we get to be in your house today. We pray for Doc and others that weren't able to make it here today, that you'll be with them, give them peace, and just give them the ability to have joy in the midst of trials and tribulations, that they can recognize that whatever's happening in their life, God, you're working with them and working them through it. You've never promised us we won't have trouble, Lord Jesus, but you have promised to take us through it, and we take comfort in that. Help us to also be there for one another and to love one another in ways that are visible to the world, that's supposed to know we're Christians by our love, and teach us what that looks like and how to live it. Thank you for your word, and help us to properly, rightly divide it today. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're in James chapter 4, so starting on page 1847 in the Pew Bible, James chapter 4. I'm going to make an attempt to cover verses 13 through 17 today, and I think we'll be able to accomplish that. James has spent some time talking about submission to God, about resisting the devil, and recognizing that if we're submitted to God and we resist the devil, the devil's going to flee from us. He's warned the brothers and sisters, his family, his Christian family, about, you know, these times where we're fighting and quarreling, and Christians do that. It's like, where's that coming from? It's we've got the emphasis in the wrong place. We're looking just to please ourselves. The desires within us are ending up killing relationships. And really, if we just turn things over to God, if we recognize that God's in charge, God's in control, and keep acknowledging Him and submitting to Him, a lot of these quarrels and troubles that we have, these fights that take place, they'll vanish. They'll diminish and go away. And then He warns us about not judging, not speaking evil or slandering one another, but not judging each other. And I think that's a lot of times when we end up having fights and quarrels among us, it's because we start trying to do comparisons. And I look at somebody and I think, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Even though they may have a better way to do something, I start judging, thinking that my way is better. And then we start comparing, and that creates more and more problems. And James is saying, you know, there's only one lawgiver, it's Jesus. And He's the one that's able to give blessing, but He's also the one that's able to bring judgment. There's only one lawgiver and one judge. We need to recognize Him and stop trying to be Him. And so James has given us all of these warnings. And then he starts, it seems like a little bit of a new section, but it really kind of continues to tie in. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. So this is the group of people he's wanting to talk to now. He's written this letter to the churches that are scattered throughout the world, and a lot of them were probably merchants. And merchants have to make plans, and they have to come up with ways, how do you make things work? So he's saying, hey, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city. So these people, they've made up a plan, and they intend to follow through on it. They're going to carry on business. They're going to make money. They're going to make a profit. I'm going to jump to Proverbs. The verses that I'm doing will be up on the wall, so you don't have to try to keep up with me in the Bibles. But if you like playing, you know, sword drills and stuff, you can try to keep up. That's okay. It's all coming from New International Version this week. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. You know, God's word does give us instruction that maybe you should have a plan. Are you living life without a plan? These people that James is talking to, they've got a plan. They're going to do this. Okay? Sounds like that's a good thing here, right? The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. You've all heard the saying, haste makes waste, right? We've probably all demonstrated that at one time or another in our lives, hurried through something that we should have slowed down and taken a breath and thought through process rather than just diving into something. In Luke 12, Jesus is talking with the crowd, and there's people kind of yelling out questions and things. And at one point, he says he's going to tell them a parable. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Again, here's a gentleman that has a plan. Jesus is telling a parable about somebody that he's been successful. Things worked pretty well. He planted a crop, and there was an abundant harvest, more than he had room to store. And he thought to himself, I should get more storage. That's logical, isn't it? Makes perfect sense. Proverbs 31, if you remember that proverb that talks about the woman that is considered a wife of noble character. Well, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. You know, this is a lady that was planning, and she's praised for all of the planning that she does. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. This is a woman that was very successful in business, very successful to the point where she can continue to plan more and more. She'd purchase things. She'd try to improve on what she had. And you know, this is all praised. So when we look at this, you know, James is calling to a certain group of people. Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. It sounds like this is a nice group of people, right? They've got a plan, and Scripture talks a lot about having a plan. The next verse, though, kind of throws you. James 4:14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That seems like a little bit of a curve, doesn't it? I'm kind of thinking, okay, here's some people. He wants to talk to them about the plans that they have. And then he says, and by the way, you could die. Your life is just a mist. It's a breath. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Going back to that Luke story where Jesus had been telling this parable about a guy that had a successful harvest. In the parable, the next thing that Jesus says to him, God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but it's not rich toward God. So in the parable, again, it starts talking about somebody that's very successful, but then the twist is, yeah, but you can make all the plans you want. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, in this parable, God's telling this guy, you're going to die. You know that all of this stuff that you're doing is you don't get to keep it with you when you're dead. And I think, you know, part of Jesus' teaching consistently was we're to store up treasure in heaven, not treasure on earth. But he never said stop planning. He didn't say don't work. He didn't say just sit around and wait for heaven. But as we're planning, as we're working, as we're toiling and doing all these things, if our heart isn't toward God, if we're not rich toward God, there's not much to show for it. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. You know, when Doc woke up this morning, he didn't know that his hand was going to be swollen again. He's been looking forward to this train trip tomorrow for months. He's been excited about it. Hopefully he can still go. But if he can't, you know, God's still in control. How do we work this out? Is the train trip more important than God, or is God more important than the train trip? And relationships and all of those things. Doc's been working on trying to bring people together. I think his heart's in the right place. I think he wants to invest in the kingdom. He wants Christian people to meet each other and get to know each other and have depth of relationship. That's his desire. There's all sorts of things that we plan in our heads. I purchased a stock a number of months, maybe years ago now. It's a symbol on the stock exchange is XXII. It's 22nd century. And it's a tobacco stock. Okay, now here's a pastor that owns a tobacco stock. What I loved about this company was their whole purpose is to try to come up with strains of tobacco with low or no nicotine. And they've got lots and lots of patents on this, and they're way ahead of all the other companies in the country, in the world, about coming up with less harmful or non-harmful tobacco products. And they've been working on this for a long time. And at the same time, our government has been holding this little carrot and dangling it out there, saying, we're going to change the regulations. We're going to make it. Because the nicotine in the tobacco doesn't help anybody. It's not purposeful other than to keep you addicted. That's the only purpose of the nicotine. All of the tobacco companies agree on that, and they claim to have low nicotine cigarettes, but they're not low nicotine to the point where they're not addictive. And so this company has come up with some, and they've done all kinds of clinical trials, not only in the U.S., but in other countries around the world. And they've been relatively successful, and they've been doing pretty good. And the government's saying, we're going to make these regulations, and it looks like that would be a really good match. But I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Knowing our government, they might find a way to keep on putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. When they make an announcement, usually the announcement is, in 6 months we're going to study this. And then we'll come up with a decision of whether or not we're going to come up with a decision. And that's how government works. And so if all things had been perfect, they would have made the decision a year ago. This stock would have skyrocketed and been worth tons, because none of the other companies, you know, R.J. Reynolds and all these other tobacco companies, they don't have the technology or the rights to the technology yet. And so this company would have willingly worked with them. That's their purpose. That's what they want. They really want to help other companies. They're still trying to work with the government. Well, this last week, one of their principal officers died. It's like, you know, he'd worked for R.J. Reynolds for 23 years and tried to work within the system, and that wasn't working. So he left them, and he's working with this little startup company. And he just dies. I mean, and okay, this guy's 10, 15 years younger than I am. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We can all kind of plan and guess, and, you know, it's like, okay, well, today I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to profit, and then I can relax. Okay? None of those are bad things. But where is God in this plan? How does he fit in? How do we acknowledge him? How do we submit to him and recognize that really he's the one that's in control? Here's James's solution. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That saying that you've probably all heard, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I'll be there next week. You know, we make plans, but we also recognize that sometimes those plans don't work the same that we would like them to. Did you all see that wind that came flying in this week? There was, you know, we had sunshine, 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 and then there was wind. And that day that it was crazy windy, I'm heading down the hill to go see Conrad, and by the time I get to Grotto, it's overcast and 15 degrees colder 4 miles away from here than it was in Skykomish. We can't control the weather. I walked on the Maloney Creek Trail this week, and one day there was no tree across the path, and then the next day there was a tree across the path. Things are changing around us all the time. We can try to be cautious, we can try to be careful, but we can't control everything around us. And so as we make plans, now God never says don't make plans. James isn't saying here don't plan. But he's saying, you know, these people that he's talking to, okay, you've made all these plans, but you forgot one important thing. It's not up to you. You don't get to make the outcome. Instead, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it's God's will, we're going to be able to go to this city. And if it's His will, we'll be able to stay in that city and do commerce and sell the goods that we have and maybe purchase some other things, and we'll make a profit. Then we can come back after a year and we can repeat that process. And you know, we've got a business plan here. And it should work, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Because that's kind of, and it's not just a thing to tag on to a prayer or to a plan to say that we've checked off that box. Do we really trust that God is the one that's in control? Because when things don't work out the way that we want them to, does that throw us so far that we don't know what to do with our lives? All of us have had things happen in our lives that we're going one direction and then something happens. Stem cell therapy. Is it going to work or not? That's in God's hands. Lord willing, there's enough of whatever needs to be there to make happen whatever needs to happen. But if it doesn't happen, God's still on the throne. He's still good. And there must be reason for it. And it doesn't mean we're going to understand it. We've all had friends, loved ones, go into the hospital for routine procedures. And sometimes they come out and it was routine. And sometimes they go to glory. And we don't get to decide which time is which. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge or submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. He'll direct your paths. You know, we can make plans. We should make plans. But our plans need to be submitted to God. Proverbs 16. To humans belong the plans of the heart. God's not saying that's a bad thing. We get plans in our heart, don't we? Something in us tells us we should try this. But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. We just commit to the Lord whatever we do, and He'll establish our plans. That doesn't mean He's going to make it work out the way we want it necessarily. But He's going to establish it. We make a plan, our heart's right, our motives are right. He's going to establish that. He's going to bring something to fruition. It's not going to go the way of haste makes waste. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. There's so many different places in Scripture that talk about how, you know, God wants to give us the desires of our heart, for example. In Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper and he's talking to his people that are at that time that it's being written, they're in captivity. And he's saying, you know, you're going to be here for a while in captivity. Take care of the city where you've been placed. Live the life you're supposed to live. Marry. Plant crops. Do all the things that you need to do just for normal everyday planning in life. And I'm going to prosper you. Pray for the city that you're in. Even if you're here in captivity and you don't want to be here, pray for the city where you've been placed, and God will bless that. You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The next verse. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So James has kind of called these people out. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to this or that city. We're going to carry on business. We're going to make money. We're going to make a profit. You know, he's called them out and he's saying, where's your heart? Where's your attitude? You've left Jerusalem already, the individual said he's writing to, because things didn't work out in Jerusalem the way you like them to. And now you've got a plan, you're going to go somewhere else and do something else, and it's like, do you recognize that God is the one that's going to bless or allow it to fall apart? Are you acknowledging him? Are you including him in the plan in everything we do? Recognize, yeah, if it's the Lord's will, if this is what he would like, then this is what we should do. Instead, he's recognizing that some of the people are boasting and they're arrogant and they're proud because they've got this plan. It's easy to think, okay, I've got a plan and I'm just going to barrel through, and anybody gets in my way, I mean, sorry, that's their problem. I'm going to push through and we're going to get done. And I've seen pastors do that in their attempts to build churches. And I recognize that I can't build this church. That's God's business. He does what he's going to do. He builds his church. That doesn't mean we don't plan. It doesn't mean that we don't have outreach. It doesn't mean that we don't love the community in every way possible. But I recognize too that sometimes we love the community and they accept our love, but they don't accept God. Sometimes they accept God, but they don't accept religion or church. Are we going to get our feelings hurt about that? You know what? God is the one that gets to decide where their heart is too, and read their motives as well as my motives and everyone else's. And he's the one that determines the outcomes. It'd be real easy to come up with a door-to-door plan here. I know a lot of people in town. I can go knock on their doors. They'll invite me in. It's true, they will. And I could invite them, and then in my mind I can think, okay, well, a certain percentage of them are going to start coming to church if I just asked. And we can come up with this plan, and I can be arrogant and prideful about it and say, look what I did, look what I built. God's the one that brings the increase. God's the one that determines the outcome. It doesn't mean I shouldn't be out talking to people and knocking on doors and spending time with people. That's not an excuse to not work. But it's certainly not a place to boast. And it's same with my own salvation. By grace I've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not of myself. It's a gift from God. So many things are gifts from God that we want to take credit for. Proverbs 27:1, it's pretty straightforward and plain. Do not boast about tomorrow. You do not know what a day may bring. I've got plans for tomorrow. How many of you have plans for tomorrow? You're going to get up and you've got something you plan on doing. Yeah. And we have no idea whether those plans will take place or not. You have plans, Sandy, for when you go back to sunny Florida. Is it tomorrow morning? We thought we were going to get on an airplane on April 6th, and we were going to go to Florida, and get on a cruise on April 7th. So it was one of these overnight flights, direct flight. We were just going to sleep through the night. Everything was going to be fine. Well, it was kind of two flights is what they had scheduled for us. One was a layover in San Francisco for an hour or something. And we're at the airport at SeaTac, and at first it said on time, and then it didn't say anything. And then it said, what did they keep changing it to?
We'll be notified or something.
It was a weird thing we'd never seen before. We never did figure out exactly what was happening, but for some reason, this plane that was sitting there at the gate, ready to be loaded, and our luggage was already on it, wasn't getting to go to San Francisco for that first leg. Something was happening. We don't know what. We waited, and we're looking and thinking, okay, well, about 5 minutes from now, we're going to miss the connection flight, even if we did get on this plane. You don't know. It's like, okay, we're going to go on a cruise and have no luggage if we get on a different plane. So how's this all going to work out? And it did work out, and God was in control, and everything was fine. But, you know, Alaska Airlines was able to find two seats on a full plane, so they had to have bumped some people to get us on there. And then we got a direct flight, and we got there before we would have gotten there going the other direction. And we went down to the baggage carousel, kind of hoping that they had found our bags and transferred them, and they did. But it could have gone a different direction. We don't know. I mean, when you're even getting on Highway 2, you don't know if you're going to make it to Grotto, Gold Bar, Index, all the way down the hill. We just don't know. I like to see that number grow on the sign. It was over 50 last time I saw it. Yay. But we don't know. And there's times when that sign gets changed two or three times in a week. So we really can't boast about, yeah, I drove to Monroe and back safely because I'm such a good driver. It's like, okay, I successfully made it there because there's some angels watching over our car. And, you know, we don't know. Proverbs 21:4, haughty eyes and a proud heart. In the description of what that is, the unplowed field of the wicked produce sin. This arrogance, this pride, that's something that really ties this back together with, you know, why are we fighting and quarreling with our fellow brothers and sisters? Because we have desires in our heart and we want them to happen. And because we're more important than they are, and they're in our way, we're going to have a fight or a quarrel. James is still talking about the same thing through this topic. Are we going to trust God? Submit to God? Recognize that Lord willing, these things are going to happen? Or are we going to be proud and haughty and arrogant and think that we can change things? And that's really, I mean, in America, and, you know, much of our lives, we hear you can become anything you want to be. If you just work hard, you can get what you want. If you do this, you can have that. You're the master of your own destiny. Well, you know, to a degree, that's true. We should plan, and we shouldn't just sit around and wait for things to come to us. But there's also this other element of, you know, there's people in island nations that thought they were doing the right thing and everything's working out well, and then a big tsunami comes pouring through. Or a hurricane. And it sets that economy back years. And takes a long time to recover. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't control that. But we can control our hearts. We don't want that unplowed field of the wicked. If we've got a wicked heart, get into Scripture. Let God do some plowing in there. Let Him prepare the soil. So then your plans will produce something positive. You know, God talks throughout Scripture again. Jesus, you know, he says, I want you to produce fruit, much fruit. 30-fold, 100-fold. I love God's economy. You plant an apple seed, and an apple tree can grow. And in an apple, there's more seeds and more apple trees. And there's no end to that when it's working properly. If you've got a farm that raises animals, successful breeding. It's a blessing to see all those little calves come out in the beginning of the year. And knowing that they could grow up and produce more calves. And if the plan works properly, your herd is growing at the same time that your profit margin's going up. Things can be great, but something bad could happen. You could get a disease in your herd. Things do happen. If we're proud and think we've got it all figured out, sometimes God finds a way to allow us to be humbled. I think we can recognize that humility is something that James has consistently asked for here, and it's part of why we need to go through trials and troubles and tribulations, is so we can grow up and be complete and mature, lacking nothing. This last verse in chapter 4. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is a sin issue. If we know we're not supposed to be proud, if we know we're supposed to acknowledge God and submit to Him, but we decide, well, I probably in this situation don't really need God. I probably know better than He does. And I try to live my life as if, you know, I'm basically a practical atheist, right? I mean, you can say that you trust God and believe God, but if your life is demonstrating something else, we're no different than anybody that goes through life and says, no, there's no God. I don't believe that there's a God. It's right there. And if we know the right thing to do, and he's given us a lot of examples here, like true religion is taking care of the orphans and widows. If we know the right thing to do, well, there's a widow in town that needs some help. Sure hope somebody takes care of that. Somebody without food. Well, they just need to get that figured out. You know, we sometimes can get callous in our Christian walk, and if we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, it's sin. In fact, if you take it just a little bit further, in Romans 14, Paul talks about, there's a whole section on people are arguing about whether or not they should eat meat that was offered to idols, and they're arguing about other things, and he's saying, you know what? What's important is you're responsible for your own attitude. You're responsible for your own relationship with God. Stop worrying about what other people are doing. I'm not going to make a rule and tell you this is the right way and that's the wrong way. What I'm going to tell you is anything that does not come from faith is sin. And so Paul recognizes that God's going to work differently through different people. For some people, eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol would be sin. For other people, it would be nutrition. Same meat. But what's important is everyone is going to answer to God. You know, none of you have to answer to me at the judgment day. And thankfully, I don't have to answer to you on the judgment day. We answer to God. Lord willing, He's going to look at all of us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll point out things to us that we didn't even remember that we were able to accomplish for Him in His name. You know, giving a cold glass of water to somebody that's thirsty. Helping people in need. Being an encouragement to somebody. There's so many ways that we can be Christ in the world. Where's our heart? What's our motivation? Are we storing up treasures in heaven or treasures in earth? I don't see anybody in this congregation that comes here to try to network and build their business. I have seen that at churches. where people come to church so that they can meet more people so that they can make more money. Man's heart, that unplowed field of wickedness, produces sin. But we can allow God to plow up that heart, to soften us, to build us in such a way that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks words of life, words of hope, words of comfort, words of encouragement. Is that what's in our hearts? I hope so. Father, thank you for your word. Help us not to take this as a way to just sit back and not plan, but to recognize that as we plan, you want to be a co-planner with us. Help us to submit and acknowledge and commit everything to you, God, knowing that you will bring the outcome that you want and that we can trust you that it'll be good. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, Lord, but whatever it is, we trust that you will make it good, that we'll have peace that surpasses understanding, and that we'll be able to just bring shalom to the people around us, that we can speak words of life. Thank you that we can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.